called the Priest of the Stars, the friend, confidant, and spiritual advisor to many of London's rich and famous. He's even been often to the British Prime Minister's household in 10 Downing Street to celebrate Mass. Franciscan Father Michael Seed is a regular visitor to Parliament and converted a number of prominent politicians to Catholicism. He also worked many years as an ecumenical aide to the Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor. But although Father Michael now moves in elite circles and is known for his kindness and friendly nature, few people knew he was nobody's child from a past that led nowhere. In his inspirational new autobiography, Nobody's Child, Father Michael reveals the depths of a desperate and disturbing childhood. His alcoholic father, who mercilessly beat and poured abuse on both wife and son, driving the young boy's mother to suicide, and later bringing Michael himself to the brink of his very own self-destruction. Well, Father Michael spoke to Susie Hodges about his book and his terrifying childhood, and about how, through his faith in God, and with help from a few good people along the way, he was able to turn his life around.
From his birth onwards, Michael's childhood was blighted by what he describes as pitiless brutality. His mother was a poor, unmarried teenager who gave Michael up for adoption as a baby. His adoptive father was a sadistic alcoholic who beat, tortured, and sexually abused the young Michael. His adoptive mother suffered from depression, and after many failed suicide attempts, she eventually killed herself by jumping off a railway bridge when Michael was 8. Not long afterwards, his father died as well, and Michael was sent to a school for maladjusted children, where he gradually found his way towards religion. Father Michael spoke to me about what led him to delve back into the details of this painful childhood with this book.
The book is not written, it's spoken. It took me about 30 days of speaking it into a recorder with my good friend Noel Botham. And Noel very faithfully transcribed my words. And so the book is really like listening to a radio program.
Was it quite painful, but at the same time quite therapeutic to come out and to, shall we say, confront once again all the appalling things that happened to you in your childhood?
It was immensely therapeutic. It made me relive scenes as in a cinema. Also, I needed, I think, to get these things out because I had never addressed them ever. And I think I needed to be done. I had to dramatically edit it because often we say things that we regret. Well, I certainly have. In the book I say, you know, am I happy this has come out? I'm not entirely. It has. And I hope that it will serve to help people. It's been written bluntly, or too bluntly in my opinion. And it has kept its brutality. I just hope it will help other people to live a happy and a normal life.
Many people who experienced all the appalling things that you experienced would grow up at the very least emotionally dysfunctional, possibly criminal, violent, and maybe an abuser themselves, because that often happens. How come you didn't?
I can't answer that. It's very difficult. I think if you experience these things, you can go, as you said, you can go either way. I think I chose to look upon life once I decided to live and not indeed take my own life. I therefore wanted to enjoy it in a sense, if I could. Possibly. Now, that didn't really happen until I was 17, 18, really, that I actually could say that I actually started to live. I don't think I'd lived before then, because life was just gruesome. I mean, 3 times decided to end it.
After spending much of his childhood wanting to kill himself, Father Michael says he gradually rose up from the depths of despair after being helped by an inspirational teacher at his special school who helped him find God.
The main person, I would say, was this teacher called Stanley Thomas, who was the deputy head of my school in Rochdale. This was from the age of 12 to 16, this kind of children's home school mentioned in the book, not a very nice place. But he arrived, and he was a Church of England priest, and it was he really that introduced me to a deeper faith, and which led me to become a member of the Church of England briefly, and ultimately led me back to the church of which I was baptized as a Catholic. And there we are. So Stanley Thomas was probably my greatest mentor I've ever had in life. He looked after me from the age of 13 to about 16 when I left the school. He introduced me to so many different things of the beauty of life, of classical music, of art, of so many things, philosophy, theology, all these ones, and indeed enticed me to start reading, which I wasn't really capable of. So he was a great man.
You tried many religions, though, before you actually came to be received in the Catholic Church. What actually was it that brought you to Catholicism in the end?
Well, I always was technically a Roman Catholic, as I discovered at the age of 16 that I had been baptized as one as a little child. But my grandmother was Salvation Army, and we went there as a little child. Then we became strict in particular Baptist, quite Protestant. And I was very moved by them, by the healthy form of fundamentalism, you know, the scriptural integrity and ethics and various things. It gave me a way to live and a very good sense of God with them. But unfortunately, they had nothing to do with anybody else. Other Baptists were considered heretical, and Methodists were, and Church of England was, but Catholics would be considered absolutely outrageous. So I lived an isolated little world as a strict Baptist, and then I just felt I was growing up. I realized the world was much more universal, and ideas and whatever. And so meeting Mr. Thomas at my school is basically the one who pointed me in the direction of the Catholic Church, even though I didn't know it at the time. He was quite a high Anglican, and he introduced me to sacraments. Then when I left school, I went to this Anglican church, and I went to talk to this Anglican priest who said that I really was a Roman Catholic. Even though I was baptized a Baptist at 15, he asked me, was I baptized as a baby? And I said, yes, as a Catholic. So he demanded that I be received into the Church of England from the Catholic Church, which made me very annoyed because I didn't consider myself a Catholic. I considered myself a Baptist. So he did it, and then I wasn't happy with it. And he gave me a course between the differences of the Church of England and the Catholic Church, and he was so anti-Catholic that he actually produced an interest in me in Catholicism. So I went straight over the road to the Catholic Church, and there you are. That's what happened. So it's quite funny that I was provoked to become a Catholic by an Anglican priest, a negative one.
So does he feel that having known so much suffering as a child helps make him a better priest?
It might make me in some ways a worse priest. I'm not sure if it does actually make you a better one. I don't know. Every human life has its strengths and its weaknesses. I suppose if there are any strengths, it does help you to value the virtue of life, of every minute we have and every second and every breath. This is a very valuable item of what we do with it. And so I think a highly sensitive level when people, particularly when people are suffering. I can sense it very much indeed because I've been through much, and so I suppose it does help. And that's for other people to judge. It's not for me. I mean, in some ways, I might think that I would be an inadequate, overly emotional character. And I don't know whether that's a strength or not. I mean, there are some people that don't have any emotion. I probably have too much. So I admire people who actually have, you know, less emotion than I do, because they tend to be more effective.
In many ways, what you've achieved is miraculous. As you say, you went to a special school, yet I gather that you now have three university degrees and two doctorates. Was it quite a revelation to discover that perhaps after an unpromising beginning that you actually had a very good brain and were able to use it?
A very good brain. Yes, I suppose it is. But the great problem was that I couldn't do education in the normal sense, but I was able to speak. So I was given permission to do all my exams spoken, and I went from failing all my things to passing because I'm blessed with a very good memory. And to this day, I never use notes ever. All my sermons are spoken from my mind, and all my lectures and talks are all from my mind.
Fortunately, Father Michael has left the brutality and deprivation of his childhood a long way behind him and is now a well-known priest who counts the British Prime Minister Tony Blair and other celebrities among his friends. So how did he get to know the Prime Minister and his family in the first place?
Well, how I got to know them, it was in 1993, at an event for the homeless. It was through that mainly, and through mutual friends of theirs, and that's how we met. Very lovely people and a very loving family. It's been a privilege to know them. Of course, they are parishioners. Well, they have been parishioners for 10 years now with us. But anyway, as I say, I mean, they're very fine, very good people. And it's been a privilege to help them while they have been here, and I hope in the future.
But you obviously are a person that's able to feel comfortable both with somebody who's a celebrity and also with a down and out. Is that true?
I would hope so. Otherwise, we might as well close up the church. Of course, we have to relate to everybody. And I think, again, it goes that perhaps is a gift. And I'm grateful for that. I think the question is, if you do relate to people, whoever they are, you just treat people as they are. And you mustn't show differences or be fazed by them. And I think that's probably, I hope, one of the gifts that I have. As people, I do treat people the same, and they're normal. We all have to do the same things in our life, and we are all the same, basically. I'm not a communist, but I am. I do think that there is an equality to everyone.
The proceeds from his book will be given to a number of charitable causes, but Father Michael says the primary aim of his book is to help other people in difficult situations.
The most important thing is not the number of books that go out. I mean, it would be for the publisher. It's more if its interest will help people, and I think it will, and I'm very happy for that. I've written it in a very honest way, and I so hope it will be popular. Of course I do, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the end of the book has God at the beginning as well, but it does have a sense that of the Creator and the value of life and to preserve it. So the actual book ends at the age of 17, just before my 17th birthday, and then there's a very, very brief epilogue that takes you to my mid-20s. It takes you to my final vows as a friar and my ordination. So it doesn't go beyond the last, really, 25 years.
And when you say it ends at 17, was that really when you found religion and this is where you found God?
It's when I left school. Yes, it's when I left school. And I go to work in a homeless centre with the elderly. But it's, yes, it does. The religious journey starts there, yes, it does. And so the epilogue is hope, a pleasant spiritual journey. And God is also very much mentioned around the later part of the book.
That was Father Michael Seed talking about his autobiography, Nobody's Child. And I'm Susie Hodges.